Business owners like you should have a strategy that empowers your team, giving you time to focus on what matters most.
And we understand the challenges of leading and building a high-achieving team, which is why we created Babylon, a system that helps businesses increase revenue, build a healthy culture, and create accountability throughout the organization.
Babylon.
DSE Ocho. DSE Ocho.
All right, we're still there.
we're still on it.
I don't know how we're going to deal when we get that past 20.
No, that was a sad one, though. I should have got that one way quicker. But yeah, DSE Ocho, I'm pretty sure.
All right. Yeah. Babylon number 18.
No matter what, it's Ocho plus Diace.
Diego, you're so smart.
Okay, Mateo, let's get to it. So today, today we're talking about a fun topic that we're seeing more on the road as we're hosting workshops.
Yeah, I mean, we're going around the country and we're working with these agencies and we're getting really intimate knowledge under the hood of what's working, what's not working. And what we continue to see over and over and over again is the ceilings of these agencies, in our opinion, are artificially low. They're artificially low. And one of the major reasons for that is that a lot of these agencies, sales and service is being done by the same people. They do not have it separated. The salespeople are doing service-related functions, service people are doing sales-related functions, and it's really mismatched. Mm. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing a lot of frustration in a lot of agencies we go around the country that they're just working a ton of hours, and they can't really see, they can't really figure out like the end in sight. And this is one of the ways to stop working so many hours is to really kind of separate, create meaningful job functions, jobs with purpose that helps with accountability, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, like it. Well, personal highlight, Maddie.
Yes, in this past 18th week, actually 20th because you know, Memorial Day was off, but 18th week, my highlight was on Memorial Day. And you know, I shared this with you in the past, but you know, every Memorial Day, the national or international CrossFit community does a workout called MRF. It's a hero workout. And anyone who's in CrossFit knows it. It's probably the most famous workout for a fallen soldier who his like favorite workout every single week. He would run 1 mile. He would do 100 pull-ups. He would do 200 push-ups, 300 air squats, and run another mile. And that was like he'd do it like from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. every.
Was
like
he was CrossFit around?
No.
Okay.
No.
This is just his thing.
This is just his thing. So it's his Lieutenant Murphy. And he, you know, they named it after him, Murph. And the idea is like you all give a little bit more than you're capable of giving by doing a really hard hero workout to sort of honor those who can't give anymore.
Got it.
And that's why it's such a special thing. And the entire country does it, every single gym around the country. And the one that I go to, I haven't seen in a couple months. I was able to reconnect with a lot of the members, and we kind of trudged through it, and we had a great time.
That's cool.
Brought Belle. She got to meet a lot of the community, and we had a good time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What's the fastest MRF that you've heard of?
Oof.
I think you left off a big part in that. The people who do MRF competitively wear a 20-pound vest.
Right.
Which is just a minor detail.
Yeah,
that's like crazy.
That is a minor
that's
detail.
Crazy for most people. Most people don't hold 20 pounds in groceries.
That's true. The prescribed way to do the workout is to wear a 20-pound vest throughout the entire thing. And you partition up the reps. So you don't do 100 pull-ups straight and then move 200 push-ups. You can. I did that 1 year. I couldn't move my arms or wipe my butt for 3 weeks. So I don't recommend that. But with 20 extra pounds, it adds a lot of resistance that you're not used to.
Kind of balance.
Especially that last mile.
Yeah.
Sort of tough. But yeah, I think there's a lot of like top competitors nationwide that can break 30 minutes.
Wow.
So they can get into the 20s, you know, high 20s or so, which is challenging to do even without a vest.
Like when you, I mean, obviously you're a very competitive CrossFitter and were in the past as well. Like, how long do you take a break during that time period? Like, I mean, you got to get some water and like, or do you just do push-ups and pull-ups and air squats to give your arms some free time? Like, what do you do? How
yeah.
do you take breaks?
So I think that one of the tests of fitness is the intensity and the speed at which you can continue without rest. And that's, I think, the top CrossFitters, like, they don't need as much recovery time to be able to continue through. Their anaerobic capacity is really, really high. So they can perform at a really high heart rate for a long, long time. And so really you partition it out, five pull-ups, 10 push-ups, 15 air squats for 20 rounds. So that when you're pulling, you're pulling a little bit, then you're pushing, then you're air squatting, so you're letting your arms, so you really don't rest much. You don't rest, maybe a quick jug of water once in a while, but you just go straight out, you just keep going. So it's, but the push-ups get challenging with a 20-pound vest. It's really, really hard to push your body weight up without, with 20 extra pounds, especially 200.
The pull-ups aren't strict, right?
Those are, you do, you can move them, you can strict, whatever. Five in a row isn't as challenging, but 10 push-ups in a row with a 20-pound vest for 20 rounds is no joke.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And you're moving just fine today.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah.
All right. Man, you don't see below the shirt, it's torn up and ripped, but it's a lot of, more than anything, it's just a really good community bonding thing because everyone has everyone has a hard time with it. There's not one person in the world who's just like, it's simple. I bang that out easy.
Except for Murphy, rest in peace.
Yeah, right. How about you? Personal highlight?
Personal highlight for me, Mason turned 4 and it was just awesome. We had a great time. Simple celebration with some neighbors and our friends at Hickey's and Kristen's, Cage's parents came over. But more importantly, like the whole weekend, we just basically like, what do you want to do, Mason? Because he's having a birthday party with his friend, Walker. They turn 4 together, so they're doing a group party this weekend. But he's like, I want to eat donuts and go to the pool. So that's like literally what we did. We just went to pool and just literally hung out. Most people probably don't associate eating donuts before they go to the pool, but
well, if you're a 4-year-old boy, that's probably exactly what you do,
right? I know. We just made sure we went potty before we went to the pool.
He was proud of the cake too, right?
Didn't we got a Patriots cake.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he loves the Patriots, at least the logo, and
not quite the team, but the logo.
He watches a tiny bit just to watch the logo move, I guess.
Yeah.
But
it is a sick logo.
It's an awesome logo. I've had a lot of time to look at it, unfortunately. Okay. But no, it's fun. I mean, 4-year-old, Jesus.
That's crazy. He's 4 years already. It's unbelievable.
Like that.
Remember when you told me that KG was pregnant with him, and I felt like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I know. It's just so fast. But 4, a lot of time at the pool, loves the pool. And my daughter, Emma, basically was just like, every single gift that Mason got, like he didn't get a lot of gifts, but like little tiny stuff people bring over and stuff. She's like, can I see Mason? And every single time you give it to her, and every single time she would just be like, oh, and then she would go play with it because Mason just had the next thing, the next thing, next thing. So Emma won.
Yeah. That's when siblings love their siblings' birthdays.
It's your birthday? Great. Yeah. Like, you go talk to everybody. I'll play with your gifts.
Right. Yeah. We both get gifts.
All right. So let's talk about this growth hack we want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And again, brought up the problem. Problem is that they have ceilings that are almost like self-described ceilings because they almost can't see through the muck. And we kind of come in and one of the things that we teach just in our program is that sales and service cannot be done by the same person if you have more than one person on your team, of course.
Yeah.
And
if your goals are to grow, like, and grow significantly, like, I don't think everyone out there, that's their goal, nor should it be. If you're different parts of your career, you're different times in your life, you have different goals, like different priorities.
Probably not listening to this if you don't want to grow.
Exactly.
Let's forget those people.
Those that we work with, they do want to grow.
Yep.
And one of the challenges is that they don't even know, a lot of these agencies don't even know why they're feeling like chaos is around them, why they're so stressed, why their team raises their hand and says like, I'm drowning, I need help. When they feel like their payroll is off the charts and they're like, well, I'm not even taking much home right now.
Totally.
Like, where is this going wrong? Mm-hmm. And one of the major things that we see is that a lot of these agencies, they have everything kind of lumped in.
Yep.
Sales and service is being handled by the same people, whether they're all CSRs and they're doing sales on top of it, or you have a sales team that's also jumping in and doing service.
Bingo. So let's talk about the sales side first. It's a majority of our listeners here are in sales or they own their own company, and everybody here can relate. And I know everyone's head is nodding out there when we're talking about this. It's, you want to do sales, but you almost forget that when service comes in the door.
Mm.
And when you get an email and you almost make this excuse per se, oh, that's a VIP client.
Mm.
He or she is really gonna want me handling the claim.
Yeah.
Or you know what, like you're sending over buying a new vehicle, I'll just take care of that real quick.
Right, you know that you could probably do it in like 3 minutes, 4 minutes, and the time it's going to take for you to send it to somebody else, and the worry or concern that it might take them 3 hours to get back to your client. It's a referral partner, a best friend, a family member, whatever it might be. It's like, you know what? They make all these excuses. I'm just going to do it myself. Mm-hmm. But you add like 3 or 4 of those cases a day or a week, and it compounds into a lot of time. You're not doing your job.
Mm-hmm. And so what suffers?
Sales.
Yeah.
And business development.
Business development.
Yeah. Why? Because business development is probably the first thing you punt. It's the least urgent, most important.
Yes. And we know this from years of working on mindset activities. It is impossible to get your head around everything you have to do with business development while having a service-related function like right before or in the middle of it or right after. Like if you, if you have a meeting with a mortgage lender or a financial advisor, and for the 15 minutes before you're working on a service-related function and you run out and leave the door, like your mind is not in the right place at all. Mm-hmm. And you, heaven forbid they're coming to your office and you're doing it when they walk in.
Yeah.
You're just not there.
You're instead of focusing on doing research, which we've talked about so important, research before the meeting, preparing your questions, determining what a win is going to be, where you're adding a car and scheduling a piece of jewelry or answering a quick claim response question.
There's way too much going on. So we need to get rid of the service side when you're on the sales function. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you're going to have way more time for the business development piece.
Yeah, it's hard enough to schedule, and we know this, it's hard enough to be consistent every single day with your networking if you're doing quoting and selling as well. Mm. It is almost impossible if you're also doing service. Mm. And that's where a lot of agency owners are listening. Like, think about your sales producers. Like, they need to get out at least once a day to meet with new referral partners and existing referral partners if you want them to increase their referral partner, you know, referral game. And if they're also servicing, it's nearly impossible. They're doing multiple, and it's so hard to hold them accountable.
It's so hard. It's so hard to hold them accountable. And I think this came up a couple weeks ago when we were down in a southern state at a workshop, an agency owner, and we asked one of the business development professionals, okay, like how many meetings are you going to do next week? Like what's going to be the thing you track that you do? And the gentleman said one. And we almost came back and said, like, why only one? Like what? And then he went into all the service things he's doing, everything else he's doing. And this problem almost manifested itself. We're like, wait a minute, why are you doing all that? Mm-hmm. What? How does this help you in sales to do this? Mm-hmm. Getting rid of the service side will almost get rid of the excuse that you might have, and the commitment to sales will increase.
Yeah.
Because you're not now doing two job functions and probably only one well.
Yeah.
How well do you really service if you are focusing on business development?
Right. There's no way you're going to be the best at it. You know, that's not where your heart is. That's not where your focus is. And we're not suggesting that sales is more or less important than service. We're just saying if you do both, you can't be excellent in either.
No.
And you need to choose. You need to figure out which one you're really suited for, which one really makes you happy, which one you think you're best at. And then find people that do the other thing really well too. And then everyone's going to be much happier in their role. It's going to be a lot less, you know, vagary about where things start and stop. And you can actually hold people accountable. If you have business development meetings that you need to have every single week, and then let's say the number is 5, but you also can say, yeah, but you asked me to take care of my biggest client renewal case, and I had to file a couple of really important fire claims that occurred, like you can't really hold that person accountable if you're asking them to do more than one thing.
No, because what's going to fall is, like we said, the business development. It's very difficult to imagine that if you took on a service-related function, you're not going to file the claim. Like you're probably going to get it done. And then you're just, the business development's going to fall. The sales side is going to just, it's going to crumble. And this will manifest over time. And that's the scariest part. Is you start doing service casually here or there for like a little bit of time. And it's a 3-month to 6-month boomerang. All of a sudden in 3 to 6 months, you have no sales going on. Mm-hmm. And you can't figure out the problem. It's because it happened months ago that you were servicing the whole time.
Yeah.
Not getting out. Someone doesn't see you.
Mm-hmm.
They work with a different company, but the person's only focused on sales. They're going to like that person a lot more.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the longer you go enabling your existing clients to contact you by filing or completing whatever tasks they're requesting, the harder it will become to avoid that in the future.
It's impossible.
It's really, really challenging. Because then they're like, well, I've always worked with you. You set it up that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But it is a band-aid. You got to rip it off, and you got to run towards one. You got to run towards one function. And if you really are a salesperson, that your job is to grow the company, grow the agency, grow revenue, like You cannot. You have to make no excuses and go all in. You might lose a couple clients. You might lose a couple people. You might have some bad reviews. You might have some aches and pains and along the transition, because you might have some people internally that now are doing things they didn't have to do in the past. Mm. But long term, it's the only way to break through those growth ceilings.
And we're going to free up time for the service reps, and that's really part two, right? Like, yeah. How do we – so, okay, now we've looked directly at sales, and we've said you need to punt service by giving it to people who are experts in it. That's the thing. We're not saying service isn't important, as you said. Mm-hmm. Give it to the people who do it every single day. They do it better than you. Mm-hmm. You probably suck at service. Mm-hmm. Move it on. So service, they need to be freed up time, because now they're going to get an onslaught of more stuff to do.
And we probably hear this more than anything.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You hear the service professionals out there saying, like, I am slammed. Like, and we hear the agency owners complaining about the service team being overwhelmed. And even when they hire and train new people, they feel like they're just understaffed at all times. And it's not because they have too many clients or premium that they're servicing. It's because they're asked to do so many different things. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're asked to upsell and cross-sell and add new policies and work on renewals to add more premium and endorsements and whatever, and you're also asked to do all the urgent requests, the claims and the add cars, the change requests, the billing issues, pre-cans or whatever, there's no possible way to be able to do a B-plus at best job in anything.
Do you have any more than 17 examples? Do you have more? We're all waiting. No, but you're right. It's a very complex job, as services in every company out there. So we need to get sales off of service. Now, we're not talking about when you add a vehicle, even though that generates revenue. We're talking about new policies. So service needs to inquire about them, perhaps. That might be step two, step three. But if they get a warm lead or they get a referral off an existing book of business, push it back over to sales.
Yep.
And that will free up tons of time.
Yeah.
Because they don't do sales well. Mm-hmm. Most times they do not. And therefore it requires more brain function. They have to research new companies that may have come in since they last checked it. Maybe it's a coastal market and they have to figure stuff out. It's just stuff they don't want to do. Get it off their plate.
Well, plus, I mean, we hear this all the time. And this is one way that I think we've positioned for years. It's like, most agencies, service professionals who also have to generate quotes for clients asking, I'm buying new homes, I'm getting new cars, a new boat, whatever it might be, it falls down the hierarchy of urgency. So what happens? Yes, sure, I'll help you get that new home quote for the house you're closing in 2 months, but I've then got to handle the urgent claim that just occurred. I've got to add this vehicle because someone's at the parking lot trying to buy a new car, and it's got to get done right this second. So all these urgent things come in. Service rep feels like they're getting everything done. It's taking them 3 days to get back to the client that wants to buy a new home. So where that happens, they go elsewhere. Like that's get the sales completely off. This is a radical change for a lot of agency owners. They look at, like, if it's an existing account, just handle the account. Even if it's a new home, a new policy, an umbrella, whatever, the highest achieving teams give that back to the sales team.
Yeah.
Every single lead, whether it's a referral, whether it's an existing client, whether it's a client referring their own family member, it all goes straight to sales.
We're seeing a lot of issues across the country with it. And one that gets highlighted a lot is that we're paying our service professionals sometimes for adding new business, whether it's a referral because they've done a good job or whether it's just someone buying a new house, like you said, but we're not paying them the same amount as we're paying sales reps when they get it. So as a service rep, they're already telling you you're not as good as a sales rep with the commission split, right? But, like, let's just separate it. They shouldn't be doing it. This isn't a job function. Mm-hmm. They were not hired based on their sales ability, and then they just so happen to have to sell all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Now, we agree, everybody is in sales. You have to know how to represent your company, market your company. You have to deal with negotiation. You have to deal with objection, no matter what role you have, from admin all the way to, you know, CEO. But adding new policies should be in sales. Servicing existing accounts should be in service. Mm-hmm. This should be a non-debate.
Yeah, I mean, almost every other industry, it would be laughable.
Yeah.
To have it mixed.
And this is a huge growth hack because of the time allocation to your job function, mm-hmm. right? And then you will have accountability, as you said. Mm-hmm. And with accountability comes job satisfaction. Because mm-hmm. now I'm being judged based on what I can actually control.
Yeah, I think it's the number one best thing you can do to improve accountability within the organization. Because if you're a sales rep and your boss tells you, hey, I need you to try to accomplish this and this amount of production, it's going to create this amount of commission for you, but you're also asked to do service-related functions, How can you be accountable for that? And if you're a service rep and you're asked to do some sales stuff on the side, how can you be accountable for retention and client satisfaction? You can't be.
Not possible.
And if you're the manager or the leader and you're still trying to push that accountability across, it falls flat. There's no trust. There's no respect because you're like, well, what do you expect from me?
Yeah. And if you want to talk more on this topic, DM Matterai, text us, email us, however you want to do. But you can go to www.babylon.com. We'll put it in the podcast notes. We can schedule a call about how you can get that rolled out individually to your team. And also we can talk about how we can go to your agency and really kind of overhaul this program for you. I think it's a very simple process, but we don't want this to be like this brand new idea that you just hang up the podcast, like stop listening and go run out to your team and say, all right, sales, no longer doing service and certain. No, it's not going to go off right. It's not going to be received well. But we really have to chat with our service individuals and talk about the why. Mm-hmm. Talk about why they should be really focused on service. Maybe the renewals aren't being called, mm-hmm. which we see all the time.
Yeah.
Why aren't the renewals being called? Because we're adding XYZ newer policies. We're doing what you told us to do.
Yeah.
And sales, why aren't we going out and meeting all new people? Because I gotta be tied to my desk and do service. Then you can roll out this change.
Yeah, right? I think you hit it on the head. I think the why discussion is so critical with both sides instead of just explaining the what.
Great new idea.
Yeah, and they don't understand, and teams don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. They'll never buy in. But I think if you just explain what you just said, like the why really helps. And then they understand what life looks like once, you know, then they see the end of the tunnel, the light at the end of the tunnel. And they're like, oh, yeah, it might not happen tomorrow, but like, wow, that you're only asking me to do 3 or 4 things and that's what I love to do? Yeah. I'm all in. Let's go. Let's run in that direction. It's a lot easier.
It's like, what's that Shawshank Redemption quote? Like, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things.
Mm.
Like, it's just true. It's like they need to just know that you're going to be working on something to make their job better.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're going to be. But this is our number one growth hack right now that we're seeing across the industry. Love you to take some step towards this. We'd love you to book a call with Matt. Not me, Matt. and we'd love to chat with you about steps and tools that you can do to roll this out.
And typically people, when they hear this, they say, yeah, that sounds great, but.
But not me.
But yeah. But what about this? And what about that?
We're
what
unique.
About this? Like, yeah. Like, yeah, but I have these like really important clients with big premium on renewals. Whatever the excuse might be. I don't have the right team paper. I don't have the right, whatever it might be. But like, those are just excuses. We're telling you, this is what needs to happen for you to break through massive growth ceilings and continue to move your company forward and grow at more than the industry average 2% growth. Grow at 20, grow at 30, grow at 40%. This is how you do it.
When Matt says that, I don't know how you're going to stop the podcast and say it's not for me.
Schedule a call. Talk to us.
I love it.
Let's go.
All right. DSE Ocho in the books.
In the books.
Mateo.
Diego.
Babylon. Babylon.